are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February 11th, and that is what they call a winning streak. It has happened before. Getting a lot of mileage out of my Lou Brown references this week, but this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter across the country for about a decade as well, probably more than that, if we're being honest. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about the Pistons' third straight win on Friday night against the New York Knickerbockers. Also going to be talking about the newest Piston, Wayne Ellington, and all things Miami Heat with David Ramil of Locked On Heat. Of course, the Pistons have to keep an eye on our friends from South Beach throughout the rest of the season. We're also going to take a look at tonight's home game against the Washington Wizards. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook as well. Big numbers for the podcast downloads last week. Really appreciate you guys spreading the word and keep that up. The Pistons get the win on Friday night at Little Caesars Arena. Third straight victory of the week, 120-103 in the debut for Svi Mykhailiuk and Thon Maker in their Pistons uniforms, 29 and 20 rebounds for Andre Drummond. He was, as Charles Barkley would say, fantastic. A ridiculous plus 39. That's my Charles Barkley saying fantastic impersonation there. Plus 39 for Andre Drummond on the night. Basically the dominant as the eye test and numbers showed in every sense of the word. He was great. Blake Griffin had 26 points and 20 for Reggie Jackson. So a real live big three came through, even though the fourth member of the big four, if you want to stretch the fraud of a namesake for the Pistons there with Reggie Bullock being out of the lineup and out of the lineup for good with the trade to Los Angeles last week. But for the Knicks, 31 points for Dennis Smith Jr. He killed it early, but then struggled from the free throw line in the fourth quarter as the Knicks fell apart there. I think he maybe missed some of those on purpose for the tank. There I said it. That's my conspiracy theory for you. As the Pistons improved to 25 and 29 on the season, and with the Miami Heat losing in the last minute to the Golden State Warriors on Sunday night, the Pistons are now tied for the eighth spot with the Heat. We will talk more about them in a little bit, but the Pistons now 1.5 games out of the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference and 2.5 games behind Brooklyn for the sixth spot. Svi Mykhailiuk, 3 points in 9 minutes, 1 for 4 from the field. Not great for him, but he did make some plays, then assist. Looked like he belonged out there. Thon Maker, not so much. He just showed up in town the day before the game, got just the one shoot around it with his new teammates. He did not score in 8 minutes. I mean, obviously incomplete on both these guys. We're not going to be judging them for weeks down the road, but just let them get comfortable, and we'll talk about them and what to expect here over the All-Star break, as we'll have some guests on that know these guys a little bit better. But the Pistons play the Wizards tonight at home. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on, too. And also going to play Wednesday at Boston in a game against the Celtics team in disarray right now. Also a team that could be without Kyrie Irving. And also on the second half of back-to-back, they're going to play Tuesday night in Philly as well. That's the last Pistons game before the All-Star break, which is coming up this weekend. All-Star Friday night, Saturday night, and then the game on Sunday night in Charlotte. Blake Griffin, as we know, the only Piston that's going to be representing down in North Carolina, and no one else in any of the skills competitions or dunk contests or three-point shooter or anything like that. But some other Pistons news from over the weekend is the signing of Wayne Ellington. That's official. We all want to get the nuts and bolts out of the way before David Ramil of Locked On Heat comes on. But Ellington is 31 years old, a 9-year pro. The Pistons are his 8th NBA team. Also, he's a North Carolina guy, so he's kind of filling up Reggie Bullock's Tar Heel gunner spot in more ways than one. For the Pistons, he had two really good seasons for the Heat in the last 2 years. But then this year, he's been in and out of the lineup. The numbers are down. But a career 38% three-point shooter, 37% this year, so not so far off there. Should help the Pistons in the playoff push as they're desperate for that three-point shooting after giving up Bullock last week. But the casualty of this was Henry Ellenson. He was waived by the Pistons, draft pick a few years back in the first round, never did make any impact with the Pistons. And I don't know. I mean, I hope Henry gets his shot in the NBA somewhere at some point. But Ellington comes over. He was part of a package trade last week with Tyler Johnson from Miami to the Phoenix Suns as they shed salary to try to get as close to the luxury tax line as possible. But then Ellington was released and picked up on the buyout market as a free agent by the Pistons. I haven't seen anything about his contract from over the weekend, but I'm guessing that means it's going to be a minimum deal for the rest of the season, not a multi-year deal or anything like that. But it also sounds like the Pistons have eaten up all the cap space with Ellington that they created from the trades that they made last week, dealing Reggie Bullock to the Los Angeles Lakers and Stanley Johnson in a three-way deal to the New Orleans Pelicans as well. But up next, we're going to talk to David Ramil, co-host of the Locked On Heat podcast, about Wayne Ellington and the eighth-seeded Miami Heat. And then later on, we're going to talk about the Wizards game tonight. But a reminder, a new one actually, when you get in your car, not just your smart speaker at home, but when you get in your car, I need you to go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get you your latest episode while you are on the commute. And we also have an important favor to ask of you. We'd like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit LockedOnPodcasts.com/survey to participate. Again, that's LockedOnPodcasts.com/survey, and we really appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by David Ramil, co-host of the Locked On Heat podcast, also writes for The Step Back. David, thanks for taking the time to join us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Now, so I went on the internet and tried to form all the opinions that I could about Wayne Ellington, and obviously it's tough to do with just the basketball reference page and whatever else we can dig up, so I figured we'd go straight to the source, and David's that guy. Wayne hasn't played that much for the Heat this season, kind of off and on. We know they got a crowded wing over there in Miami as well, some injuries too. What's kind of the lowdown on Wayne Ellington's season as someone who follows it up close?
Well, he missed the first seven games of the season coming back from an unexpected foot injury. And then once he came back into the rotation, his minutes were kind of pretty spare, to be honest with you. He wasn't being utilized in the same role that he was the previous season when he had set a career high in three-pointers and even a team record as far as made three-pointers are concerned. So having that adjustment, you know, for him was a little difficult. And then even as the season progressed and you started to see him play more often, then all of a sudden his minutes would just change dramatically. Like there were just stretches there where Eric Spoelstra wouldn't use him at all. He would start collecting, you know, DNP CDs, and you wondered what was going on, whether or not they might have been trying to preserve him for a potential trade, whether or not, you know, there wasn't any kind of falling out or anything like that between him and the coaching staff. But it just seemed peculiar that all of a sudden he wasn't getting any kind of playing time when we had expected him to be, if not a significant contributor, at least a guy who played pretty regularly, and that just didn't seem to be the case. So, you know, with Wayne, it was always difficult to predict what you were going to get out of him because, you know, you didn't know if he was going to play on any given night, and then he would miss a few games, a stretch of games where he just wouldn't play at all. He'd come back and then provide instant offense, and you'd wonder yourself, why didn't he play? And then he'd start, and even then when he'd start, then all of a sudden he might struggle a little bit in that role because he doesn't seem like he's equipped to handle the starting role. He's better as an instant offense player off the bench.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we were pegging him here in Pistons land, as kind of a Langston Galloway, but pretty much better across the board as basically a three-point shooter. And another way that I've kind of thought of him in terms of Pistons language is like a Rip Hamilton, but from the three-point range, in that the half-court offense, he's kind of all over the place. One of these really tough guys to cover in that he'll run you all over the court. Is that kind of accurate? And where else do you see the kind of broad strokes of his game as far as us for a bite-sized version of his game?
That's pretty much it, to be honest with you. That's where he's most effective. He's great in catch and shoot situations, obviously. So if you have it, you know, if Blake drives to the rim and can find him along the perimeter, that'll lead to some easy looks without a doubt. But yes, you're right as far as the Rip Hamilton's concern, comparisons are concerned, because he does move a lot off ball. He's constantly working off screens there. And that's where he was very, very effective for Miami, especially last season. He had a really good chemistry going with Kelly Olynyk because Olynyk is such a good passer and, you know, setting screens from the high post would free up, you know, Ellington in many ways. He had the fake dribble handoff working with Olynyk and Ellington. And so that was a really good combination. But Wayne works so well just with pretty much anybody. As long as he gets just a little bit of space, there's a good chance he's going to be able to knock down that three-pointer. And even he doesn't need much space. He's good off the catch. He can, you know, he doesn't need to have his feet set in order to let go of a pretty good-looking three-pointer. So his offense is pretty instantaneous there. As far as the rest of his game, it's a mixed bag. He doesn't really put the ball down too much. He can. I wouldn't trust him to provide any kind of steady offense that way. He's obviously much better from along the perimeter. And as far as his defense is concerned, he doesn't exactly move particularly well. He was, you know, he matched up with J.J. Redick in the playoffs last season. And you would think that would be a pretty good matchup for him, considering Redick is constantly moving off ball and off screens himself. But Ellington just couldn't seem to keep up with him, and he just seemed like he was constantly out of place defensively. And that's pretty regularly. He has active hands, so he'll be able to get a couple steals here and there, but he's not good as far as one-on-one defense is concerned. He just doesn't move his feet particularly well, so that could be a little problematic. But offensively, his bread and butter is obviously behind the perimeter, and that's where Pistons fans will see the most of him.
Yeah, and you mentioned the dribble handoffs and the action with Olynyk. Wonder if he'll be able to maybe replicate some of the things that Reggie Bullock was able to do with Blake Griffin and now Bullock out west to the Lakers. So obviously that's the guy he's replacing. So we will see how that works out for the Pistons. But we got David Ramil here, co-host of the Locked On Heat podcast. Find him on Twitter at DRamil, which is RAMIL13 as well on Twitter. David, now here we go again. I feel like we had the same conversation last year about the Pistons and the Heat that are probably going to be going neck and neck, maybe for that eighth spot rest of the season. And really two teams that are in similar spots if you look at kind of a bird's eye view as, you know, obviously some talent on both teams, but quite obviously not a clear direction to become Eastern Conference contenders on both teams, but maybe not enough reason to tear the whole thing down. I'm sure you got fans in your fan base that want to tank, and I'm sure you got fans in your fan base that wanted to add pieces at the trade deadline too, just like we do here in Detroit. Is that pretty much it? I mean, what's the overall direction of the Heat? Is it hard to kind of pinpoint where you guys are at right now?
Yeah, I don't know that there is an overall direction, to be honest with you. And I think you summed it up pretty well. And you know, as far as being able to mirror what a lot of Detroit fans feel about the Pistons, that seems pretty close to how a lot of Heat fans are. Although I think there's a lot more, and I can't explain exactly why, there seems to be a lot more frustration there because, you know, there are these young players in Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and Bam Adebayo that you figure will be the core of the team moving forward. And the problem is that they're just not getting kind of the significant playing time or significant opportunities. Like Justice Winslow emerged in December and early January as the team's point guard. Then you welcome Deion Waiters back into the lineup, and all of a sudden he's taking the ball out of Winslow's hands and reducing his overall usage rate and role. And you have to wonder, you know, is Deion the future of the team? Well, clearly that's not the case. So why would you not, you know, concentrate on giving Justice Winslow as many opportunities as possible? Same thing for Richardson, who, you know, leads the team in scoring, and he was getting the bulk of the scoring opportunities at the start of the year, and then that kind of, you know, wavers from game to game. So there doesn't seem to be a clear indication as to what this team is looking for. Even a guy like Olynyk, who has been very effective lately, all of a sudden you see his minutes cut down and you start to hear rumblings that maybe it's because there's a $1 million bonus if he reaches a certain threshold as far as game of minutes played per season. And so you start to say to yourself, well, is this team cutting costs? I mean, this team has never been known to take the cheapest way out, and yet that's what it seems like. It doesn't seem like the product on the floor is being maximized, or the players that are available aren't being utilized to the right role. So there's a lot of frustration as far as how this team is concerned. Like it seemed like there was a given that the team would make the playoffs, but they struggled so much and they're capable of such great games and such really terrible ones that you don't know what's going on with this team. And again, since it's not like they're a clear contender anyway, what's the point? Is it better to just invest into the future, see what you have out of these young players, and then whether or not you make the playoffs, that doesn't really matter as long as you continue to develop them in the right way? Well, that sounds fine, but then why aren't you doing that? And if you're making the playoffs, then why don't you concentrate on playing those players like Olynyk or others that can help you win games the most? And so you're not quite sure what you're looking at when it comes to the Heat, but it is a little frustrating. And there is, like you said, talent on this group, obviously, but it's just not being maximized to the best of its ability.
Yeah, you mentioned that young talent. Maybe that's the one of the things that they have over the Pistons right now is that Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson's turned himself into a really good player, and Bam Adebayo as well. And, of course, a proven front office and a proven head coach as well, which are things that maybe they have over the Pistons. But I will say this, and maybe I want to see if you agree with me or not. I feel like with the obviously the near short term with the Heat, that really difficult stretch they're on right now out west that continues with Philly right after the break, it looks like the Pistons could be a game or two ahead of the Heat come, you know, end of February, and then it goes into March and April. Do you think that who do you think gets this eighth spot or possibly seventh or eighth spot when you throw Charlotte in there as well? Do you think the Heat end up in? Because the way we're sitting here in Detroit, it looks like that this year, as opposed to last year, it might be Miami sitting on the outside of the playoffs as opposed to the other two.
I'd have to agree with you. I feel like they've just dropped too many close opportunities. Again, you never know what you're going to get. This is the same team that beat Portland at Portland to start off the road trip and then dropped a 15-point lead to the Sacramento Kings. And obviously, this isn't the same Kings team as they've been in the past, but they just went on a huge run to close out the game, and Miami was just staring, looking around for answers and couldn't find any. So, you know, they're going up against Golden State as we're recording this, and you mentioned Philadelphia. So there's a lot of tough teams there. In their future, they've got Oklahoma City a couple times, whatever. It's difficult to see how Miami can win enough games over the next few, 30 games of the season to lock down a playoff spot. As far as I'm concerned, I honestly agree with you. I think they're not going to make the playoffs, which is a little surprising. And I think, considering it's Dwayne Wade's last season, you'd want him to go out in a playoff run. But even then, what's the point? It's an early round exit. I mean, if they could win a game in the playoffs, that would be fun. But the reality is that you're not getting any further than the first round, so why bother pushing for that? And so, let's see what happens over the next 30 games, but I don't think that they'll make the playoffs. I think the Pistons have a very good chance of being able to make the postseason.
Well, it sounds like Miami and the Pistons in a little bit of the same boat, although this time of year I'd rather be in that boat on the Atlantic Ocean out there in South Beach as opposed to the Great Lakes here in Michigan. But David Ramil, co-host the Locked On Heat, we will see. There's going to be some interesting games, two of them in Miami between the Pistons and the Heat, and then we'll be keeping an eye on the Heat in terms of Washington and Charlotte and all those what I call red-letter games between teams that are right in the mix at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoffs. So we'll be watching you guys throughout the year, and we'll have you on one more time before the end of the season. And anything you want to plug out there, David?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they could read a preview I wrote last week about a profile, rather, on Josh Richardson, on everything he's done to work to get to this point. It's a good story. I mean, they had a chance to talk to his college coach, Quanzo Martin, and even Richardson's mom about how his upbringing kind of led him to this point. So you can check that out at the Step Back or follow me on Twitter at DRamil13.
Yeah, definitely give David a follow, as he'll be giving us everything we need to know about the Miami Heat in particular as the season wears on here. But thanks for taking the time.
You got it.
And here we are again with the Wizards tonight at Little Caesars Arena for a 7 o'clock game. Now, the last time the Pistons played the Wizards, it was on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I said that that game will determine if my temporary pick is that the Pistons will make the playoffs or not. Well, I'll say it again. Every time we play the Wizards, maybe I'll change my mind. But I said before that that was the case. The Pistons lost that game in embarrassing fashion on a Monday afternoon. And I said, no, the Pistons will not make the playoffs. Well, as always, with my temporary opinions, I reserve the right to change my mind. A lot has changed for a lot of these teams in the Eastern Conference playoff race with the trade deadline, injuries, of course, that have happened. And again, a chance for me to change my mind and say that the Pistons will make the playoffs if they get the win tonight at home. And that's, of course, until I change my mind again in the future. But speaking of playoff chances, the Pistons have a 58% chance of getting to the playoffs, according to the latest 538.com projections. 7 o'clock game, as we mentioned, tonight at Little Caesars Arena. As we know, Dwight Howard and John Wall are out. Troy Brown, the rookie out of Oregon, he is also out with a left ankle sprain. He was the 15th pick this year and hasn't really done anything, so just 19 years old, something to think about as the Pistons will be picking probably right around that spot in the mid-teens this upcoming draft. Jeff Green, however, who only played 9 minutes in their last game over the weekend, he's questionable with left hip tightness, so keep an eye on the injury reports that we'll pass along on Twitter throughout the day on Monday there. But since the Pistons played the Wizards, the Washington traded Otto Porter to the Chicago Bulls in return for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. Those guys put up big numbers over the weekend for their new team. The Wizards also released Markieff Morris of the Morris Twins fame. He's still available on the buyout market, by the way, so he'll be a nice pickup for someone. You would imagine a contender gets Markieff Morris here sometime soon. But yeah, Washington, you know, you got Brad Beal, Scotty Brooks coaching. Satoransky's getting a lot more time with Wall out. Trevor Ariza is still there. And like I said, the new guys from the Bad Bulls team are going to step up and play big roles right away. Parker and Portis there. Washington comes in at 24-32 on the season. Pistons just two games ahead of them, so a loss tonight brings them back to the pack with Orlando and Washington. By the way, 538.com says Washington has a 22% chance of making the playoffs, which seems high to me for a team that pretty much made some sells over the last week as well. But since the deadline on Thursday, the Wizards have a two-game winning streak, but don't be too alarmed by that. That was just wins over the weekend against Cleveland and Chicago, the tank teams. So nothing much exciting to report about the Wizards, but this is a Pistons team that should get this win. I was surprised to look and see that the Pistons are just four-point favorites. So given that the three-point swing you get for being a home team, Vegas on a neutral court sees the Pistons as just a one-point better than the John Wall-less, Dwight Howard-less, Otto Porter-less Washington Wizards. So not a good look for Detroit from the Las Vegas markets. But as we mentioned earlier, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device in your ride to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That's the new way that we're trying to get all over your life, infiltrate your entire being, and just get all up inside of your brain. That's what we're doing here with the Locked On Pistons podcast. As we're talking Pistons, because we know you crave that, as the playoff push is now approaching, the trade deadline is behind us, the All-Star break is coming up too. I got an exciting interview I'm going to be sharing with you guys during the break. And we're going to be talking about the new Pistons, all that good stuff, and recapping games this week against Washington and Boston as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattSchoch. And give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Really appreciate you guys. Appreciate you spreading the word. And this is your host, Matt Schoch, saying, have a good one tonight and enjoy the game.